It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Now, the House Select Committee investigating the violent riot at the U.S. Capitol building on January 6th began its hearings this week. So far, the committee has heard testimony from Capitol police officers who recounted in gut-wrenching details the fear and violence they experienced that day.
I, too, was being crushed by the rioters. I could feel myself losing oxygen and recall thinking to myself, this is how I'm going to die, defending this entrance.
That's Army veteran and U.S. Capitol Police Sergeant Aquilino Gonnell testifying on Tuesday. He's one of four officers recounting their experiences. And we want to hear from you. How did you react to hearing the testimony this week? What takeaways did you have about the Capitol attack? And what would you like to see accomplished by this investigation? Call 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Karen Greenberg. She's a historian, professor, and author. She's also the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law and an international studies fellow at New America. She hosts the Vital Interest podcast. Karen, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
So bring us up to speed. What has happened since the Capitol attack on January 6th?
That's a really good and broad question. I know some people think like so little has happened, but the larger story of what's happened is that the election results continue to be challenged, which is very much at the heart of the story of the Capitol riots, which were the Save the Steal, right riots, or insurrection. So that's been going on as a continuum. So too have a number of attempts at court challenges to the election results. In addition to that, Congress and Nancy Pelosi have been trying to put together some kind of committee or commission to look into this. This started with the idea of an independent commission, but has resulted, as you know, in a Senate select in a select committee to look at what happened during the Capitol riots. And there are a number of things that they're trying to get to the bottom of. First is what happened, who said what to whom, who gave what commands, who was in charge of this, what was the chain of command, how did this happen, as well as what happened. And then there's a part of this is what did not happen. How come federal law enforcement, local law enforcement, state law enforcement. There are so many different entities that are charged with protecting Washington, D.C., and they didn't show up. And the question is why? And we've seen bits and pieces of that from stories about trying to call in the National Guard and the message not getting transmitted and the decision not being made. But it's a much broader story than that. And then I think the third part of what this is all going to be about has to do with what will be the upshot of this? What will be the upshot of finding out that certain orders were given or not given? And that has to go to accountability. And so that's a further marker, a further goal. But I think that's all that's what's at stake in what is happening right now. And since the insurrection, this has been the story that they've been trying to get happen. Can we get some sort of hearing, some sort of investigation, some sort of truth telling about the narrative of that day going? And the hearings this week were a sign that it started finally.
Now, Karen, the committee tasked with the investigation held its first meeting on Tuesday, as we said. Committee members heard four officers who were defending the Capitol on January 6th. And I want to take a listen to one of them. Here is Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn on what happened as rioters entered the Capitol building.
More and more insurrectionists were pouring into the area by the speaker's lobby near the rotunda, and some wearing MAGA hats and shirts that said Trump 2020. I told them to just leave the Capitol, and in response, they yelled, "No, man, this is our house. President Trump invited us here."
That was Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. He is a Black American. He also recounted how rioters called him and other officers racial slurs during, the height of this riot. Karen, what is the committee hoping to learn from the testimony from not only Officer Dunn, but others?
Well, I think I want to just talk about why they opened with these statements. I think one of the things they wanted to do in beginning this way was sort of set the tenor of what was at stake here. This isn't just about the election. This is about these deeper seated tensions that are, you know, dividing America right now, among them race, among them the use of the presidency to foment, you know, racial division as well as political division. And so I think they wanted to set it with give it an emotional setting, and I think that when you played that, and there's other parts of the testimonies you could have played that set the stage for just how emotional this was and getting to the core of some of the essential values of how we think of our democracy. And so, I mean, I think those two clips were very important in that way. The other thing you know is that Donald Trump is likely going to be central to this committee's questions and maybe to many of the answers. I mean, it wasn't just the wearing of the MAGA hats, the MAGA paraphernalia, but it was also the direct reference to President Trump invited us here. And so I think that was the stage that's why they asked these individuals to testify. And I think the final thing is, look, these are police officers, the Capitol police officers, and there's been so much controversy in the middle of this partisan divide in this country lately about cops with the defund the police and the investigations that are going on into white supremacy within police across the country. The idea that these were police who were doing their job, who were attacked, is actually a very important moment here, so that they're sort of providing a sort of politically safe space to talk about how important it was that these officers not be assaulted the way they were.
Yeah, and just to second that, we know from other testimony, including Sergeant Aquilino Gonel, who we heard just a few minutes ago, he also recounted being called a traitor by some of the rioters, and that if, you know, basically if the officers weren't on the side of the rioters, that they were against President Trump and the election. So, Karen, how do you see sort of public reaction to this testimony?
You know, it's very interesting. It's hard to exactly get a beat on that this early. I think the public reaction has been, I mean, you know, it depends on who you're reading, right? But the public reaction very much seems to have been, I think, a little surprised in really trying to focus on what this was all about. There's been a way in which, although the courts and the Department of Justice and a number of other, you know, official places have been paying attention to what happened in the insurrection, it's sort of fallen out of the mainstream, given what's happening with COVID, given a few other things that have happened within the executive branch over these past few months as this administration takes hold. And so I think part of it was really just trying to say, let's remember what happened. And I think the reaction among the public was, oh, yes, we do remember. This is not okay. And it's very important that this be handled in an exquisitely procedural way, that it doesn't descend to the kind of emotions that can happen and that have been happening in the public sphere since the insurrection. In other words, trying as best as possible, which will be hard, to minimize the pure a sense of pure partisanship about this. And so I think that's also a very important part of this. I just want to put a little carve out here to say that that's also what the courts are considering. They consider that they too, as they look through these cases, as they bring these cases to the fore, as they're doing these more than 500 cases so far, with hundreds more to come, we're told, they see it as their role, should any of these cases come to trial or even in the filings, that the facts are presented, that there is a narrative of what happened that presented. So you're actually getting two strains of telling the public, which will eventually have to react to pieces and the whole of this, what happened.
We are talking about the House committee charged with investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol and what we've heard so far in the early days of testimony. Our guest is Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law. We're taking your questions and thoughts at 800-642-1234. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm J. Carlisle Larson. We're talking about the latest news tied to the investigation underway into the violent January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Karen Greenberg is our guest. She's the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law and an International Studies Fellow at New America. And you're invited to join the conversation. What reflections do you have about the Capitol attack almost 7 months later? How do you think this affects our democracy, and what needs to happen to restore trust in the government? Call in now, 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Now, looking at the hearings so far this week, what has stood out to you about the testimony or even what we've heard from members of the committee?
You know, what stood out is something to reference to the thing you just said about trust in government, that what's at the core of this is an attempt not just to punish, not just to tell the story, but to understand that telling the story and getting the facts are restoring trust in government. And it's interesting that the officers that were called to testify seem to be asking for that same thing. What did they say? We want to get to the bottom of this. We want to know what happened. And part of that is, why did our government fail us? Why were we not helped? Why were we not able to protect these individuals? One of the things that's come out of both the hearing and sort of the reporting around the hearing is also the way in which the Capitol Police were not trained in the right way for this kind of event, were not equipped with the right kind of equipment or knowing how to use that right kind of equipment. So in addition to all of the other factors that may come about, it highlights the fact that there were vulnerabilities for this kind of event. So it's restoring trust in government and restoring trust in the need to keep constant oversight over how our government functions, how it trains, how it has best practices. So it is a much larger story than just even the insurrection itself. And I think that your reference to trust in government is really much what's going on here. And it can accomplish that.
Now, this committee has not been without controversy. There are many lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, who don't think that this committee is, as bipartisan as it could be. You know, U.S. Representative Brian Stile shared his thoughts on the House investigation on the morning show yesterday. Here he is.
And I think that the fact that Nancy Pelosi removed two Republicans from that committee, refused to allow them on the committee, maybe better said, is a real show that this is going to be a more of a partisan process.
So we're hearing from Representative Brian Stile there. And, you know, earlier you were saying that this needs to be as procedural as possible. Do you think that these calls of partisanship are going to cloud some of the proceedings?
It may. I think one of the biggest, you know, burdens on Congress is to behave in a way that is not as nonpartisan as possible. But there's no getting around the fact that this is a story about an attempt at a political coup. And so you're going to hear this kind of thing. To the remarks of Stile, I just want to say that remember that Jim Jordan, one of the people that Nancy Pelosi didn't allow on the committee, may very well end up being somebody who's called in to testify as a witness. So just to say there are other reasons it's not going to be an apolitical hearing. This is about politics. This is about what happened with an attempt to not certify the vote for president. So there will be complications like that. I think that the committee just has to go ahead, do its best to not succumb to any kind of political outburst. But this is a political story, and there's going to be that kind of allegation around it. I think the losers will be those who decide not to participate in the events and not to pay attention, because this hearing is going forward, and the American public are going to see it, they're going to hear it, and there will be fixes made within government because of it. And you saw that the Department of Justice this week issued a couple of decisions, one about no executive immunity when it comes to the hearings, and the other about no federal employee immunity. So I would expect the next step will be that individuals will be subpoenaed and brought in for what I expect to be August hearings. So despite allegations of partisanship, this will go forward. And the Department of Justice, for its role, is taking a very strong stand that information witnesses need to be allowed to come forward.
We're talking to Karen Greenberg right now. She's an expert on national security, terrorism, and civil liberties. Karen, how do you think this investigation and findings will affect our democratic system as a whole?
It could have a very good outcome. It could be a reset to things that have gotten out of hand, not just during the insurrection, but in years past, which is what is the division between the Department of Justice and the White House? Can the White House order the Department of Justice to do things that violate law, norms, and policies? So that's one particular thing. Two, do we respect our election process, and can it be challenged to the point where it no longer accords with the facts? Three, do we have a Congress that can address crises, trauma, and more and harm that's been done to the system? So I see this as a very important moment for reset, for accountability within government, for clarifying the role of the White House vis-a-vis the rest of the executive. These are all things that have been long unattended to since before President Trump, who just exploited many of these vulnerabilities. So I think the outcome of this could be extremely important for restoring not just trust in government, but actual principled functioning and lawful functioning of government.
We only have about 30 seconds left, Karen. You know, kind of brass tacks, we're going to probably be seeing subpoenas soon. Who do you think the committee is going to start calling to testify?
I think they may call Jeff Rosen. They may call Mark Meadows. I do think they're going to want to perhaps talk to President Trump. I don't think that'll happen in the initial stages. I think they'll build a case first, but who knows? So I think some of the top people within the government will be the next ones that are called. They may also talk to some people that have already been indicted, that have already settled their cases, just to get them on the record in terms of what they were told, why they were there, who gave them the orders. I think this could be a rather vast set of characters that will be subpoenaed, but I guess we'll see.
Karen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Karen Greenberg is a historian, professor, and author. She is the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law and an international studies fellow at New America. She hosts the Vital Interest podcast, and she joined us to talk about that select House committee investigating the January 6th riots. Just ahead, U.S. gymnast Simone Biles bowed out of some Olympic events this week, citing her mental health and concern that she could get injured as a result of the pressure. We talk to an expert about how stress, anxiety, and doubt can impact performance. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.